and hear it on Long Island.
2-on-0, Riley Rostovic, great save by Anderson.
Riley stayed onside. The late man Matthews, great move. What a goal. Beauty, Austin Matthews.
Matthews flipped it up for Marner. Mitch Marner centering, right into the net, scores!
He took fast down, and his jockstrap is in the corner of the ring.
Episode 41 of Not Another Leafs Podcast on the Hockey Podcast Network. Brendan McCarthy on the mic. Yes, I know you're used to hearing Ken Stapon's angelic voice, but that's one guy who's going to be on his couch this weekend, as this weekend's UFC 261 is sure to be a can't-miss event. Every punch, kick, and knockout means so much more with a DraftKings lineup on the line. DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of UFC, is giving you a shot at huge cash prizes. For this weekend's fight, DraftKings is offering all players a shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. If you haven't tried it yet, fantasy MMA is easy to play. Just pick six fighters, stay under the salary cap, and pile up points for advances, takedowns, and more. There's no better way to put your MMA knowledge to the test than to compete for a shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. Plus, don't forget about basketball and hockey, where DraftKings has even more money up for grabs throughout the week. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable, so you can deposit and withdraw your funds at your convenience. Download the DraftKings app now and use promo code THPN to get a shot at millions of dollars in total prizes throughout the week. That's promo code THPN to get a shot at millions of dollars in total prizes only at DraftKings. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Ken, you owe me a six case of IPA because I nailed it in the first take.
A six case.
There, everybody. Or, how does it come into
the brewery? What? Now you're multiplying the bet by six. I said I would buy you a IPA.
Oh, okay.
If you got it correctly, now you're upping the bet sixfold. Also, I would just like to say that you didn't say that it was brought to you by DraftKings before we started the read. So if we want to go on the technicality, I think the listeners understand what the promotion is, though. Use promo code THPN on sign up if you download DraftKings for exclusive offers.
Okay, BMAC, a minor blip.
Yeah, it was solid throughout, though, I thought. A couple tough losses now in a row for Toronto. As you know, we outlined the other one on Monday, where they lose the Canucks like the first game. Obviously, now we understand that Zach Hyman is going to miss up to 2 weeks with an MCL sprain in his knee. And then last night, it didn't get any better for Toronto. They get absolutely waxed, as I like to say, by a lowly Canucks team who still doesn't seemingly have the legs, in large part because of terrible goaltending from David Rittich.
Yeah, I read a really, really glaring stat the other day, Kenny. Collectively, the Leafs goalies have posted an .840 save percentage since April the 10th. And clearly some trepidation in Leafland. I mean, Keith really didn't mince words post-game the other night against Vancouver. There is a seriously bad goaltending issue right now in Toronto. And once your head coach starts to act a little wary and a little skeptical, then that's when worry starts to kick in, because there's still no effective timeline to when Frederik Andersen is going to return. You'd hope before the end of the regular season. But now you're basically rolling with two backups whose confidence have both been shot, right?
Frederik Andersen is not going to be coming back for this group before the end of the regular season. I'll tell you why. Because they can't fit him in. There's no cap space for Frederik Andersen right now. They added, when Anderson's on the LTIR, they were able to add and bring in players such as Nick Foligno, whoever else, like we've gone through everybody that they added, Hutton, all these players that they went and got at the deadline. They were able to do that because they put Frederik Andersen on the LTIR. If you bring Frederik Andersen back, then you need to free up $5 million in cap space. And where are you going to find that? You can't put a roster player through waivers. They'll get snapped up. They're going to have to ride or die right now with David Rittich and Jack Campbell, and both those goaltenders need to figure it out. I'm confident that Campbell will. He's going through just a tough stretch here. Rittich has just looked dreadful between the pipes since he came in, and they were talking about this on Overdrive the other day. Basically, Rittich was just another lottery ticket. because he's a backup goaltender. He's played well at times in his career. I think a lot of the frustration from Toronto Maple Leafs fans are based off the fact that looking at Rich's stats when he played Toronto this year, he was in four games. He ended up going 1-2-1 in those contests, but posted a 941 save percentage. 941, and now this guy can't stop the puck in the net for the Toronto Maple Leafs. There was a number of dreadful goals last night. I don't even want to go into specific details about them because they were all seemingly coming in on the left side wing, and then for whatever reason, he just couldn't read the puck. It was a complete disaster, and yes, this team, you were talking about how this team is going to need Freddie Anderson, and he's going to be the bona fide starter in game one. I would still think that likely that would still be Jack Campbell based off the fact that Anderson will not have played in NHL competition, like in a game, coming into the first game of the postseason. But my goodness, they need to figure something out because neither of these guys has been able to stop the puck over the team's five-game losing streak.
No, it's been horrible to watch, especially big save. Well, apparently big save Dave, but he certainly didn't
big
look
Dave.
Like that. Big save Dave, man. I mean, it's weird because like he actually played some. He played well in the game against Calgary when he was traded like 12 hours prior, right?
Yeah.
And that's against your former team. And then, you know, you try to cut him some slack. He's like, it's weird to change teams in a unique season like this. But now it's like, okay, you're with the team now. Like, you're a Maple Leaf. And those are routine saves that you have to stop. Like, that looked like beer league play.
Man, last night was bad.
Yeah,
there was one that was going wide of the net, and he kind of stuck his pad out there and deflected it between his own legs into the net. Like, I'm just like, what the hell are you doing out there? It was
atrocious.
Awful effort. There was probably three goals last night that you could circle and be like, that was terrible.
Yeah, I guess it was Tuesday to be specific, because now we're recording this Thursday, April 22nd.
Yeah, fair.
But
anyhow, yeah, it was just. Total disaster for Rittich. When I look at like what this team is going to need to do, like obviously you just need to get some stops. Like they've been a little bit bitten by the injury bug. We mentioned Hyman confirmed he's going to miss at least 2 weeks with a sprained MCL. I think that's probably best case for this team.
Yeah.
Because when I saw that surgically repaired knee, as you had mentioned in the last pod, as being the knee that ended up getting hit by Edler on that particular play, I was nervous and fearing the worst for Hyman. So 2 weeks for a sprain, not the worst news in the world. Bogosian ended up going flying into the boards the other day at top speed, so that wasn't really that great. Ilya Mikheyev also out. He basically showed up at practice, took a little lap, and then was off the ice. So all of a sudden, the left wing depth on this team has been seriously, seriously hindered. And it couldn't, this addition of Nick Foligno to this roster couldn't come soon enough. From what I understand, he's expected to make his debut tonight against Winnipeg.
It's interesting, too, and a bit of a predicament for Keefe and Dubas, because all year it's been about, you know, shuffling the deck up front. But really, Kenny, the back end for the Leafs has pretty much remained intact all season. And now a bit of a blemish with Bogosian taking a nasty collision into the boards. But here's an opportunity for number 38, Rasmus Sandin, to get some good playing time. I mean, really, I don't think, other than Bogosian now getting injured, their decor has been significantly battered. Like they
it's
haven't
been
really
intact.
Missed, they yeah, they, for a they haven't time. Missed any game. Like the six defensemen, they've rolled out pretty much consistently. So this is something they have to adjust as well, because before it was just kind of touching up and inserting guys to fill voids in the forward group. So if you lose Bogosian, kind of a guy who was overlooked, because people just expected Bogosian type hockey, what they got from, you know, Tampa Bay in this cup run last year. But now that's a significant blow, primarily because he plays almost always with a younger player like Dermott or Sandin, and provides that veteran leadership. And, you know, he's just obviously Zach Bogosian. He's a vet defenseman. So that's going to be a big blow as well. But like you said, Nick Foligno, doors open, man, because now with Hyman out of the lineup, they're going to need that grit and also that pushback. I mean, two scenarios where, you know, the hit on Hyman from Edler, that would have probably sparked something from Foligno, and the snow shower from Tkachuk on Rittich, however we're going to pronounce
yeah.
it. That would have probably guys would have looked to Foligno and he would have done something about it. So it's a really, really good opportunity to see 71 and ideally tonight.
There's a lot of things that I want to unpack here from what you said. First and foremost, I don't know how you wanted the team to react after Edler hit Hyman, because Edler got kicked out of the game. So you aren't going to go after that player in particular, unless you're going to go headhunting for a top player on the Canucks who's recovering from the coronavirus. Like, what response do you want? I know you're playing the game.
I don't know,
and
like
you
some pushback next shift, man. I don't mean like immediately, so that would serve offsetting, you know, misconducts or penalties. But like next shift, like just throw like a hit or something. Like show like we're not going to stand for that. You just beat up and took down arguably one of our best players in terms of, you know, the heartbeat of the team. There's got to be some response.
Yeah, well, I just don't understand like what Maple Leaf. I just don't understand like what kind of like response necessarily everybody's talking about when they say that. Like, I thought the Maple Leafs dominated the play. I think that they have the skill to do that. They like, if you want to talk about pushback, that's been something that people have long desired on this team, and say that they're too soft and they can't play, you know, playoff style hockey because they don't have that inside them to push back. Well, they pushed back, I thought, in that game by dominating the play, and basically they got screwed by Braden Holtby. Like, it wasn't as if the hit happened and then the Maple Leafs just folded and the Canucks continued to run rampant over them and establish a strong forecheck and dominate possession. Toronto continued to dominate the play. As far as the Tkachuk thing is concerned, you have a guy in the lineup in Scott Sabourin who is supposed to respond to stuff like that, and he basically broke his hand, from what I expect, fighting Milan Lucic. So you bring this guy into the lineup. Now he's on the LTIR for an undisclosed injury. You saw him icing his hand in the box. I figure that's probably what he's icing his hand for. So even the player that you would expect to go for a pushback against Tkachuk has already been removed from the lineup, or removed from his ability to give that sort of pushback that you're thinking about. As far as the defensive pairings are concerned, this is basically why you went out and got Ben Hutton.
Yeah.
Because I don't think that Sheldon Keefe is going to war with a third pairing of Travis Dermott and Rasmus Sandin.
God, no.
That's no offense to either player, but there isn't the size. There isn't any sort of physicality. Neither of them is necessarily overly strong in the defensive end. Sandin has been touted as more of a puck-moving defenseman. He's great at breaking it out, but he's not necessarily going to line up in front of the net and be able to, you know, move some of these guys who entrench themselves right in front of there. Hutton has a little bit more size, so I would assume that he's going to get the right of way for the Maple Leafs. We'll
hopefully
see what Sheldon
Keefe
ends up doing. Yeah, I don't know what his quarantine status is. I'd have to double check, but I expect that he'll probably be filling that spot on the third pairing, likely. And as far as Foligno is concerned, a big opportunity for him coming in, because basically with the left wing depth depleted, he's going to have to play a bigger role immediately, but also a tough position for the player to be coming into, where the team is reeling a little bit right now. They've lost five straight. They're playing two against the Winnipeg Jets, who are the team that's closest to them in the Canadian division. And this is, are essentially, if they win them, they essentially lock up the division. If Toronto is able to beat Winnipeg in these two games, they'll be 8 points free and clear of Winnipeg if they can beat them twice in regulation. And they have played well, but the Winnipeg captain also making his return tonight to the lineup. Blake Wheeler expected to return after missing some time with concussion protocol for the Jets. So that will give them a little boost. It'll be interesting to see what the lineup ice tonight is, but I'm expecting to see some more out of these guys a little bit lower in the lineup who have big opportunities. Sandin, I thought, has looked good. Robertson has been, he hasn't looked comfortable. We'll call it what it is. His possession metrics are bad. I thought the line the other night was pretty lackluster. I believe he was playing the majority of the time with Spezza and Brooks. Obviously, you know, Brooks also trying to make an impact on an NHL lineup, doesn't have a ton of experience. But they need to be better. The bottom six and the top six need to be better as well, for that matter. I don't want to put all the pressure on the bottom six of this lineup, but it's good, because ultimately it's got to be Tavares, Nylander, Matthews, and Marner who are driving this team.
Yeah, you'd assume so. But then we come back to the power play deficiencies, and it's just
awful.
Been god-awful. You know, you almost think that, I'm pretty sure I brought this up on a previous pod, but all six other Canadian teams in the Scotia North, that is the primary focus of their practice and film sessions, is locking down that power play, because it seems that the Leafs can't buy a goal, but the opposing teams will just draw it up like they did in practice, and suddenly it's in the back of the net.
Well, that's a problem right now, certainly for the Leafs, is that over the 5-game losing streak, like their power play, I don't even want to get into the numbers on their power play. It's been awful.
Yeah, you guys terrible. Can look that up.
Like I don't even want. Like I'd prefer to keep 5 guys on the ice at this point. Like if the other team takes a penalty, it's like no, just let him out of the box and we'll play 5-on-5. That's how atrocious.
Yeah, we'll probably score.
The team, yeah, we're more likely to score, or we'll put a guy in the box and we're just as likely to score. Like it's something ridiculous. I have it written down here actually. In the last 19 games, the Maple Leafs have 3 goals on the power play. They also have 3 shorthanded goals. How does that make any sense? They're scoring as many goals.
Baloney.
with one man less than they are with an extra man. Also, the penalty kill over the last stretch has been awful too. You know, they've let the opposition convert on 5 out of 10 opportunities over this 5-game losing streak. If you're letting the opposition convert at 50% on the power play, you're not going to win a lot of hockey games. I'll tell you that right now. It's not going to happen.
No. You're certainly not. And one thing that is scary, too, you look at basically the 4 lock teams in the Scotia North. I know you could say, like, Vancouver or Calgary could make a slight push, but there's a 7 or 8 point cushion between Montreal and Calgary, I believe, right now. Montreal won last night 4-3 in regulation against the Oilers. But, you know, you look at Montreal, Winnipeg, they all have their ace, if you will. I've been covering a lot of baseball of late. Price, Hellebuyck. I mean, in Edmonton, you got Smith and Koskinen. It's a bit wishy-washy
there.
Yeah,
I don't have as much faith in those guys as the other guys.
But those teams, it's like, we're going to you, man. Carey, we're going to you for game one. Like, right now, it's like, what are we going to do? Like, you know, you brought up a good point, too, with Fred. It's like, it's going to be really, really difficult, A, for his conditioning, and because he's on LTIR and they're going to have to free up 5 mil. It would be really tough
playing.
To slide him in for game one, though, man. It would be tough. But yeah. I think if this continues, the goalie issues, you might have to. You might just have to roll with it and be like, Fred,
just toss
go for game
cold.
One. Go.
Yeah,
like, this,
we'll
I can't watch this anymore.
Yeah.
It could be the case. Night, it could be the case.
I keep saying last night because I keep thinking it's Wednesday. It was Tuesday.
Yeah.
The other nights, the Leafs were up 3-2 with 13 minutes left in the game.
Yep.
And they've been able to close out that game a lot this season. 1 goal lead, 10 minutes left, and they just slammed the door on the opposition. Even just, like, you know, put the kill shot in there by scoring another one late, and that's like you have a 2-goal lead and you'd be able to kill it off. But like then it was just like the floodgates opened for the goaltender. It was just terrible to watch, like so frustrating for the team that's playing a good game in front of them, because then it's like everything's going in and then the confidence goes between the ears and then you start thinking about it. And like I was watching the replays on these goals expecting to see it deflect off, you know, Justin Hall's stick or they see something that I missed on the play to give him at least a little bit of credit, but they were just straight up wrist shots or slap shots are coming in with a clear view from far enough out that you should be able to handle that. And
absolutely.
He wasn't able to do it at all. It was bizarre.
It was. And that must feel good for Tanner Pearson, a guy, you know, who was a lot of trade rumors swirling around in Vancouver, seeing if he was going to get dealt. They keep him. He gets 2 goals, albeit 1, a beer league goal, something that Ross Levitan, friend of the show, would probably let in. But, yeah, not...
He plays
not,
forward in beer league.
I thought he was goalie, like, full-time.
He played goalie for years when he was growing up, and then he's made the transition to forward.
Okay,
I feel like it's
like
helped him,
that.
Though. No, I feel like it's helped him, though. Yeah, he's got the little bit of snipes now because he knows where to shoot, that the goalie's going to have difficulty with it.
He's got the corner set in stone.
Yeah.
Yikes. One thing I was feeling a little pit in my stomach, too. Imagine Riddick, whatever, that happened to him on home ice. Like, you'd get, like, the just relentless Leaf fans just booing him for every save. Like, that's one thing. He would have been...
They'd be cheering every time. Oh. Like, they'd flip the puck in and he'd be able to handle it or something. Yeah.
And he just would try and find, like, the biggest hole he could find to curl up in and hide, because that was just a dreadful, dreadful performance. Should we go to around the league?
Yeah, I'm done talking about this. The Leafs and the Canucks for now. All right, so I had already mentioned that Wheeler will make his return against the Leafs tonight after missing time with a concussion courtesy of Brady Tkachuk. I just wanted to elaborate on a point that we were discussing in a prior pod with Ian Tulloch about Wheeler's defensive capabilities. Basically, I looked it up this season, and Tulloch's right. This year, he's been dreadful 5-on-5 defensively for the Winnipeg Jets. They've been basically outscored 40-27 5-on-5, and he's minus 15 so far on the season. I know that plus-minus isn't all it's cracked up to be anymore, and there's a lot of circumstances, but although traditionally he's been a better defensive forward in his career, this season his numbers have dropped off very substantially, and he's basically not even getting any defensive zone starts from Paul Maurice and the Winnipeg Jets. So I just wanted to bring that up. Ian Tulloch, you're right. Big shout out. Josh Anderson scores a pair as the Canadiens hold on to split their series with the Oilers. Your boy Kirill Kaprizov continues to dazzle in Minnesota. He scores his 19th of the season, passing, guess who, Marian Gaborik. Not bad company there, for the most goals by a rookie in franchise history. And Vegas becomes the first team to clinch a Stanley Cup playoffs berth with their 5-2 win over the Sharks. Now, there's something that came out of Las Vegas that I wanted to discuss in further detail, and these were basically the comments from Robin Leonard. I don't know if you saw this, but Leonard basically has suggested that in Las Vegas, a lot of the players there have been forced to take the vaccine under the pretense that if they took the vaccine, they would be able to make a more a return to more regular day-to-day normalcy. Life. Yeah, normalcy, like maybe not necessarily be cooped up in the hotel rooms. Basically, the league has come out and said, that's not true. And Leonard put them on blast, basically calling, I don't know if he was directing at the organization or the NHL commissioner's office. They basically called them liars. Is really pissed off about it. What are your thoughts on Leonard's comments? He did end up breathing them back a little bit later, saying that it's basically just he's an advocate for mental health and everybody should be considering this a little bit more. But certainly potent words from the Vegas Golden Knights netminder.
Absolutely. And I know with this topic, it's delicate. And I you know, you're walking on thin ice sometimes. But I respect Leonard for coming out and just, you know, voicing his opinion. Because so much times every day, it's just generic bullshit, really, from players giving us just wishy-washy soundbites. So good on Robin Leonard. Now, devil's advocate would say, you know, you're calling it a prison. He did tweet out later and apologize saying it's not a prison because you're ultimately an NHL hockey player, okay? Like, there's a ton of luxuries, amenities, and, you know, to speak out like that and blast the league on a random weekday in April... Some may be kind of like, okay, like, was that needed? Like, is there much to complain about? But I understand that the mental health aspect as well. And he has been open about his struggles. So I respect him for that. But at some point, it's like, well, it might have been a little ill-timed. And maybe it was a bit of an overreaction calling it a prison. Because I'm sure the league is just trying to do what they can to just get through this unique season, right?
I think the risk you run as well is that it can come across as tone deaf when pro athletes sort of say this sort of stuff. And I'm not saying that that's fair because obviously they're the ones traveling. They're the ones cooped up in their hotel rooms, not able really to leave. They're the ones that aren't even allowed to play a hand of cards with their teammates unless it's over Zoom because of the restrictions that the NHL puts in place. Now, what I mean when I say it's tone deaf is that the general public doesn't really have a whole lot of stomach for someone who's making $5 million a year saying that they're feeling like it's a prison or that they're in this terrible, terrible situation when, you know, people have been out of work for the last year or relying on government subsidies and wondering how to support their families or how they're going to be able to support their families. So I feel like in that aspect, it comes across as a little bit tone deaf. I also understand that when we look at what the league is trying to do, or they're trying to keep it even, right? And it's not really fair if teams in specific states or who have a more access to get vaccinated earlier on then have a different set of rules from teams who are in different states. And that's something that we're going to have to deal with probably for the rest of the season, as especially in Canada, as the rollout of vaccines is much more prominent in the states right now than it is in Canada. It's a tricky situation. And I do believe probably that there was a conversation had with somebody, I don't know who, that it was insinuated at the very least that by taking a vaccine, it would help return to a state of normalcy.
Right. And as you said, everyone is going through this. It's a global pandemic. So yeah. Like you said, if I'm a 9-to-5er sitting down after my retail or restaurant job, or I guess not restaurant, if I'm Uber Eatsing or something, or something
yeah.
that doesn't...
Yeah, you got fired from your job and then work. You're delivering yeah. Uber Eats yeah. instead. You're not going to have a lot of sympathy like, for Leonard saying that he's in a prison.
Yeah, it's like, okay, wait a minute, you're making $5 million a year and your team rattled off 8 straight and are the first team to clinch a playoff spot this year? Like, ill-timed. But that's devil's advocate, right? So,
yeah, it's just tone deaf. It's like what I think, and it was taken out of context. The comments I'm backing what he's supporting, which is mental health for the players. It's been a really difficult year for them, but we also have to understand that it's been a difficult year for everybody. And
yep,
you have to be careful the way that you put it, because I know up here in Toronto, people are at the end of their rope with the way that the government's had it, and there's so much pandemic fatigue. I can only imagine that's like that as well in the States. That everybody's just feeling the burn right now. So remains to see how it plays out, but it's obviously a difficult situation for players and regular day-to-day people alike.
I think it's a perfect time for a pint.
Yeah, I think so. Let's go to the bar. You got me sitting at a bar on the inside, waiting for my ride. All right, BMAC, I've been rambling on about Robin Leonard for it seems like the last 5 minutes now. So the floor is yours. Go ahead.
I'm going to go with Julius Randle on the New York Knicks. They've won 8 straight. And I mean, if you're a fan of the New York Knicks living in New York, you must be elated right now, because the Knicks have just been historically bad. And they look like a mean, mean team that I would not want to play in the opening round. And Julius Randle dropped 40 last night. I think he's got to be MIP this year just for his play. And overall, the Knicks have been great. So many good pieces. Obviously, it took them a while to develop. RJ Barrett, Canadian, and just a good bunch and a good coach, too, in Tom Thibodeau. I think the Knicks will be a problem in the playoffs, Kenny.
Somebody pointed out, or one of the reporters, I should say, pointed out on the Raptors broadcast last night that all 5 teams out of the Atlantic Division could make the playoffs this year in the NBA. I was like, that's preposterous. That a whole division is in there. It's kind of it's unprecedented.
I'll ask you this, because you produce Raptors game night. Like, a week ago, it was like tank, and then yesterday, it's like, wait a minute, like playing possibility? Like, which direction are we heading here, Kenny? Like, I don't see it really plausible to go to a play-in tournament. I thought this was a tank season.
Well, I think that they were trying to tank, but then unfortunately for the Raptors, even when they were sitting their starters, they kept winning games.
Yeah,
they rattled off 3 straight without, like, Lowry, Van Fleet, and Anobi, Siakam. It was just a complete disaster of a tank job. Also, couple that with the fact that Chicago is going to be missing their best player, Zach LaVine, for an extended period of time. They keep losing games. The Washington Wizards, although able to win last night, have been very inconsistent all year. So Toronto now is finding themselves with a well-rested team and half a game back of Washington for the 10th spot in the play-in tournament.
Jeez.
And I'll tell you, I think that if Toronto can sneak into the play-in tournament and the 10 seed, obviously then their draft spot is already going to be solidified, from what I understand from the way the NBA draft lottery system works. I would have no reservations about them being able to beat any team in the 7, 8, 9, or they'll likely be the 10 seed in the play-in tournament. And then it would likely be a first-round dance with either Philadelphia or Brooklyn, which would likely be 5 games in. You're back on the plane heading to Toronto or wherever these players' summer homes are, I would expect, because you don't have the firepower to play those guys. But it's been a hell of a turnaround, which brings me to my guy at the library bar, or one of mine. I'll pick a pair here. Freddie Gillespie, who basically signed his second 10-day contract with the team over the weekend. 5 blocks last night in the game. He's looked outstanding. He's an athletic big, former Big 12 Most Improved Player of the Year. He's really fit in nicely with the Toronto Raptors alongside Kem Birch, giving them both a more traditional five who's athletic, understands how to impact the game both on the defense and the offensive end of the floor. And both have looked more effective than Aron Baynes this season playing that spot for the Raptors. So congratulations to Gillespie on signing his second 10-day. I would expect that a contract for the rest of the season will be coming down the pipe for him in about a week's time once the second 10-day is over. And then hopefully they can work something out in the offseason to bring him back. I think he could be a really effective player off the bench. I'm also going to go with Danny Jansen. Jansen was touted as the catcher of the future for the Toronto Blue Jays, and he has just not been able to figure it out at the plate this year for this team, or last year for that matter. I believe he's batting something to the tune of 0.89 or 0.089, I guess, this season, under 100 batting average. It's absolutely atrocious right now.
Doesn't
it
look
for
like
Jansen.
A professional athlete? Sorry to say. Like, I love my Jays. I watched the game start to finish yesterday, and it was nice to get a win at Fenway Park, but man, I agree. Yeah, he would be at some sort of Dunedin library bar because it's just been atrocious. Same goes for Kevin Biggio. I mean, this is another guy who was supposed to have another outstanding season, and he's looked lackluster, to say the least.
It's kind of difficult because without Springer in the lineup, it's like you don't have your leadoff guy, and it's just the trickle-down. Like, people are batting in places that they aren't necessarily comfortable with.
Yeah.
Like, people like Biggio in the leadoff spot, but his advanced metrics show that when he bats off either to lead off an inning or bats off to lead off a game, its batting average drops significantly.
Yeah.
So even if you like his speed and you like his ability to get on base, whatever the hell it is, the numbers don't lie. And he's more comfortable at other places in the lineup. He was forced to lead off in the game yesterday due to them, Charlie Montoyo, shuffling the deck. Montoyo. But it's been a disaster of a season for Jansen in particular. Biggio, they expect more, and it remains to be seen if these guys can grow into their roles. A lot of defensive faux pas as well from Biggio and Bichette, really making Vladdy's job difficult at first base. So it remains to be seen if they can figure it out for the rest of the year here, but it hasn't been an impressive stretch for the Blue Jays. Their only saving grace is that they're playing much better than the Yankees are right now.
Absolutely. No, they certainly are. Maybe it's time to give Alejandro Kirk a shot in a full-time catcher role and give Danny Jansen a rest. I love that Kirk, man. He's just a jubilant player and always seems to come up clutch when it counts. I mean, they had two on yesterday, and he got a liner into the right field gap. So he's a sneaky player, and Montoyo has the ability to, like Keefe, shuffle the deck because it's such a young, competitive group. I want to throw in a tweet of the day quickly here, Kenny. This kind of got me chuckling. It's from Richard McNutt. At Cold Cut 69, and he goes, intern keeps calling me buddy, might have to throw hands. Have you been in that situation before where like the intern is just a little too confident on his first week on the job and he's like, hey, buddy?
I think that
like,
was probably me.
That was you? Yeah. Well, I mean, no, like it's good. Like, we're confident guys. It's good to kind of show like you're here and you're present and you want to do well and ultimately get the job, but don't call an employee there buddy. Like, know his name, figure it out, and be respectful.
I'm the worst with names, too.
I would hate that. I think I got that once in the newsroom a few times, and I'm like, I'm not gonna like lose it, but I'm like, what? Like, I don't like it's Brendan or BMAC, but don't use buddy, especially with that guy over there because he's your manager. You know,
yeah.
Like,
yeah, it's it can be a little bit difficult to navigate, but.
Yeah, so, I thought it was funny because I've been in that situation.
What was the account that was tweeted from?
Yeah, I know, a bit of a dicey account. At Cold Cuts with 2 Z's 69.
Cold Cuts 69 is not a big fan of interns.
No, he certainly is not.
I'm gonna go with a tweet from Rachel Dory, noted contributor in the hockey media industry. We'll have to actually extend an invitation to see if we can get her on the pod. Basically, she was responding to Ryan Whitney's claim that Chelsea is basically pulling out of the Super League, which I'll bring up all that was going on with that in just a second here. Whitney says, that's my club, no surprise, London is blue, all class at Stamford Bridge. And Rachel points out, class would not even be entertaining the nonsense, see, PSG and Bayern. This is backpedaling, not class. So, yeah, it is basically Chelsea pulled out of the Super League after
disaster that was.
Yeah, it was, well, it was a total disaster. But basically Chelsea pulled out after they said that they were in. They were one of the first teams to pull out, but notably Bayern Munich, Borussia Dortmund, and Paris Saint-Germain all said, no deal. We're not doing it. Like, yep. We're not joining. This is a bad idea. And we support our players, our fans. They did have the benefit of they had the option to join after the announcement. So I think they sort of saw the PR nightmare it was becoming. I was like, we're not getting involved in this. But certainly the European teams, they're claiming that it's a class act, the English teams rather. It's a class act for them to back out. It's like, you already joined. You already ready to, you already signed on the dotted line saying this is an idea that we want to be a part of. So you don't get to, like, whatever reasoning it was, whether it was fear that you were going to be left behind, whether it was, you know, the fact that you thought you were going to get more revenue. It's you decided that this was going to be the best course of action for your club. So you don't get to call it a class act after you sign on the dotted line and then see the public backlash and sort of say, oh, like, this wasn't a good idea. Maybe we shouldn't be in on this deal.
Yeah. Yikes. If that materialized, though, like, that would have just been a gong show. Like, just, it would have been like, you know, Warriors, Nets, you know, all like the top powerhouses in the NBA. Yeah, just teaming up. It's like, we're going to do our own thing. Yeah. And you guys can just play in the G League now, as we'll call it, because we're in the Super League. Like, just a stupid move that never materialized. Lasted a week. The whole thing lasted, what, a week?
Not even.
Days.
Yeah, it was like 3 days, I think, before teams started pulling the plug. And now it's like, what the hell do you do with the teams that were going to join it? Like, what do you do with, like, all the English teams that were that signed? Like, do they just get to go compete in the Champions League again?
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, sorry.
We're back.
Like, I think the Champions League probably has to let them in so they can still make money, because at the end of the day, let's not kid ourselves, that's why these teams were trying to defect, and that's what these tournaments are supposed to do, is make everybody a lot of money. So I think you might have to let the English teams in, the top teams that tried to defect, but, oh, man, there was a sticky situation there for a couple days.
It was, man. And apparently it was a tough situation, even though it's routine, because everyone was freaking out about the weather yesterday. And I'm like, it's Canada. It's going to snow. Might snow in May. And this happens. We were tweeting about this yesterday.
Yeah.
Three years ago.
I meant to bring this up before.
Yeah, I was trekking to TSN, getting off the LRT, and I literally should have brought skates. It was like an ice rink everywhere around Macau and 401. And then a week later, it was spring, birds were chirping, but every social media platform, every post was just like, it's snowing. Like, what's happening? It's like, what do you mean? What is that? Like, this always happens. Like, just move on with it.
I get so frustrated with people who live in Ontario sometimes, because it was total uproar, BMAC.
I know.
Everybody's so mad. And they're like, oh no, it's snowing. Like, what? Like, you ruined my birthday. I'm like, yo, like, stop. Every year we get snowfall in April, and every year everybody reacts exactly the same, and it's infuriating.
I know.
Like, it drives me insane. It drives me, like, more crazy than it should, seeing everybody's reaction, just, like, the universal reaction.
Well, I could see why
everybody's surprised.
I could see why, like, you know, oh, it's a pandemic, you're trying to take your mind off of it, but it's every goddamn year people.
It's every year.
Every year.
It's every year. And everybody, oh, snowing.
Up in arms, like, it's just
like ruin my day. I'm like, you live in Toronto.
Yeah.
You live in Toronto.
Just order your Uber Eats for the sixth night in a row. Like, you're probably
Nobody complains when you get snow in October.
No.
Isn't that like the equivalent? Like, we get that too.
Yeah, it's just...
Everybody, oh, ruined Halloween. It's like, well, maybe we should just trick-or-treat in September if you don't want snow.
Yeah, like, what do you want?
It's too cold for the parents anyways. They gotta wheel around to the Mickey of Jack Daniels to stay warm.
Yeah, and a brown bag.
Yeah,
real classy.
Yeah, and like a pillowcase alongside with all the candy.
Yeah.
All right.
Hey, don't take too much candy, son. Get back here.
Thanks for listening to episode 41 of Leafs Pod. Follow us on Twitter at Kent Stapon, at B McCarthy95, at Leafs Pod, at Hockey Pod Nets. We'll catch you next time.